that silence is the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are when we claim your victory. Come on. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, let faith be a song that overcomes the rage you see. Let faith be a song that calls the storm inside of me. Well, let it rise. Let faith arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you.
Come on, let your praise go up.
This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like.
We praise you.
This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, this is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Sing.
Believe he's the God of breakthrough today. Hallelujah.
It's a mystery of this open me. How you hold the stars, yet you hold my heart. One who's wipes away my past. Perfect royalty made its home in me. To the one who holds the stars, we lift you higher, we lift you higher. To the one who holds our hearts, there is no other, there is no other like you. King of endless life, yet you chose to die on a sinner's tree, exposed for me. With one final breath, it is finished. Storm the gates of hell, ripping through the veil. To the one who overcame, we lift you higher, we lift you higher. To the name above all names, there is no other, there is no other. To the one who overcame, we lift you higher, we lift you higher. To the name above all names, there is no other, there is no other like you.
No other like
Jesus Christ. We magnify your life, for your majesty we crown you King of Kings. Jesus.
My mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. Drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all
your voice today. Oh, praise the name.
Praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will see your praise. worthy in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you because you are worthy in our lives, God. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence in this place. And Father, I pray that you would move by the power of your Holy Spirit in every single one in this room, God, and all those that are watching online. We love you and adore you in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Would you put your hands together for the Lord? Amen. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And you're actually already seated, but would you give this band a hand? Would you do that? Awesome, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, good morning, Freedom Church. How are you all doing today? All right. Well, if this is your first time or first time in a long time, welcome to Freedom Church. Welcome to those online. We're so glad that you tuned in with us today. If you are a regular attender or attendee, I should probably say that's correct English, right? If you're a regular attendee, there are boxes at the back of the sanctuary that you can slip your tithes, your offering, your missions giving, and then there's black boxes as you exit the sanctuary and as you exit the building that you can slip those in there as well. So let's go ahead and check the video announcements on the screen.
Our world is in upheaval, and the church has the answer. Fasting is the church's secret weapon in the battle for the souls of people. July 20th through August 28th is the Freedom Church 40-day fast. We want to fast and pray for God's guidance as we move through new territory in changing times. Plan to give up something for the sake of the kingdom of God, July 20th through August 28th, during the 40-day fast.
Hi, Hal Donaldson here with Convoy of Hope with an update on our response to COVID-19. As you know, for months, communities across the United States and countries around the world have been grappling with the crisis caused by the coronavirus. At Convoy of Hope, we have been working diligently to respond to the urgent need for food and emergency supplies. Because of your unwavering support and our partnerships with churches, corporations, and civic groups, we have now distributed more than 40 million meals in more than 40 states. I just want to say thank you for making that possible. But the sobering reality is this: millions of Americans are still scared. Their cupboards are empty and their jobs are in jeopardy. And globally, hungry children and families are literally fighting each day for survival. So we have to keep going. This isn't time to stop. Millions still need our help to get through this crisis.
We can help feed people during this pandemic. Sunday, August 2nd, be ready to give to the Ministry of Convoy of Hope as we help those in need in our nation and all around the globe.
It's a good day. Good day to see you today, too. Praise God. I want us to take a moment right now and pray for a long-term member of our church, Ione Voss. She's not been doing well for a while. She fell about a month and a half ago, 2 months, broke her shoulder. And this morning we got word that they're going to call in hospice for her. So can we just pray for the Voss family right now? Lord, we just lift up Ione Voss to you right now. And we ask you, oh God, that you would just help them, give them the guidance and direction. We thank you for the heritage of faith, and we just ask, God, your hand of favor and blessing be upon that home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope you'll continue to pray for that family as they walk through this uneasy time. Well, we've been talking about fasting. Tomorrow our fast starts, and it's been a good thing. I started this past week just because I wanted to lead the way and fast on whatever God lays on your heart. I just want to understand, I want you to just say a little bit about that. You know, it needs to be a sacrifice. I mean, you really can't say, I'm going to fast washing dishes for the year, the 40 days. You know, that one. Or you teenagers, you young people can't say, I'm going to fast cleaning my room. That really is it. You need to feel it. And someone said, well, I really can't fast. I can't fast food. I get hungry. That's kind of the whole point. I really can't do that. I get a headache. Okay, yeah, you will get a headache if you fast certain things of that. So don't worry about it. The idea is this. You feel it. It makes your flesh aware of, yeah, I really would like to eat right now, but I'd rather have God. There ought to be this struggle in you. You know what I mean? For me, it wouldn't be a bad thing for me to say, you know, I think I'm going to fast peppermint York patties for 40 days. Now, that wouldn't bother me a bit. But another member of my household, it might bother a great deal. You know what I'm saying? Because she likes chocolate. You know? So those things happen. But I just want you to understand that. Just whatever God leads you to fast, you know, and seek the Lord. I've been reading through Exodus. Listen to what it says. They finished the tabernacle. Moses dedicated, and they saw that everything that was done according to what the Lord had said. And then it says this. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the clouds settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Man, that's a cool. That's neat. You know what? I read about it. I wonder what that's like. There have been times in my life, few times in my life, when the presence of God was so there. You didn't have to tell me he was in the house. I felt it. And I knew he was there. We need to fast and pray because we need his presence more than anything else. Everybody's looking for a solution for our world. Listen to me, Jesus. Jesus. The church needs to be the church. The greatest thing you can do right now for your nation, for our home, for our city, for our church, for your family is pray. It's the greatest weapon God has given us to pray. And I'm calling us to pray for the next. Fast and pray. Whatever God leads you to fast and pray for the next 40 days. Amen? Why? Because I'd like to walk in here one day and know his cloud. Amen? Why not? Why not now? Huh? We got to get something. We got to get hungry for something. We got to get hungry for healing. We got to get hungry for transformation. We got to get hungry for God to do something and cry out to him. This is a season where you have an opportunity to cry out to him for something supernatural. Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to take something supernatural. And we need it. Amen? Hey, we have a missionary guest today. Ashley McKenzie is here. Come on up here, girl. She is a missionary to Spain. I'm going to mess with you right now. She's been there 11 years. I can't believe that. But I want you to listen what God has done. Listen, God is at work. Ashley.
Well, good morning. Thank you, Pastor. It's such an honor to be here with you. My first church that I've been at since March, so I'm extra excited. But as he said, I serve in Madrid, Spain. I work with the International Church, which means we just get to reach out to people from all over the world. Madrid's really international. So we have about 40 different nationalities that are part of our church. It's a really exciting place. So just a few of those, I wanted to share a little bit of what God's done in their lives. One is Miriam, who's from Morocco, from a Muslim background. She came to Spain for work, and she joined one of our cake decorating classes, and she loved it, and she decided to stay after for the Bible study. And as she did, she heard about Jesus for the first time, and I watched so she just began to weep. And after that, it just started her on her journey of coming to church and hearing more about the Lord until eventually she surrendered her life to him and met Jesus. And then there's Stanislav, who is from Poland, and we met him while we were out on the streets of downtown Madrid feeding the homeless. We offered him a sandwich and a drink and just got to know him a little bit, and over time, he joined our church. He met Jesus, and as he was welcomed into the family of God, he remembered what it was to be part of a family, to be loved in community, and that gave him the courage to change his life. And so now he has his own place to live, and he works, and he's part of our church. He even brings his tambourine sometimes and joins in with the worship team. Then there's Pilar, who is actually from Spain. She grew up there her whole life. She is in her 60s and came to our church for the first time in an evangelical church. She heard the gospel, and she was actually demonized, and she had gone to the priest of a Catholic church and asked for an exorcism, gave all of the savings that she had, which wasn't a whole lot, but to pay for that exorcism, and it didn't work. And so she came to us, and she said, I heard that evangelicals can do something different. Do you have something that's like an exorcism, but it works? And I said, yes, we do. And so we used the name of Jesus, and we saw him set her free instantly. And she said, how do you do that? And we got to explain to her how we get to have a relationship with Jesus that gives us authority over darkness. So then we had a young woman from Romania, and I won't share her name, but we met her in the red light district. Her parents had sold her there when she was a teenager, and she was in her 20s at the time. And so we met her and shared about Jesus, and over time she started to come to church, and she started to receive the gospel. And when she realized that God was her father, that he loved her in a way that her earthly father didn't, and she experienced his acceptance, it gave her the courage to escape from the people who were abusing her. She's now in a safe place, and she's being restored and healed in Jesus' name. And then there's one more person her name is Sarah, and she's actually from the States. She was studying abroad in Madrid for a semester, and she had been in an accident that had caused her to be deaf in one ear. And she'd only been in church a few times in her life, but a friend invited her. So she was sitting out in the congregation one Sunday, and the speaker was giving a salvation message, actually using the book of Revelation. And as he read from one of the passages, one of the letters to the churches, he got to the part that said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And when he did, Sarah's ear popped open, and all of a sudden that ear that had been deaf for 7 years, she could hear out of it. So she came to me and she explained what happened, and she hadn't been around church a lot, and she said, now I can hear out of my ear. Is that something God would do? Because she didn't even know God could heal until he actually did it to her. So it was just an open door to share the gospel with her about a God who is so personal and so loving and so powerful. So I want to thank you for sending me. Thank you for being a part of these lives that are being transformed in Spain. And I just want to leave you with an encouragement and a reminder that God is still the same today as he was when he did all those things we read about in the Bible. He's still powerful, and the name of Jesus is still the name that's above every other name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Who would ever think you read a scripture about salvation and someone's ears open up? Go ahead, God. Go, God. Amen. He's still at work. He's still active and still powerful. Listen, if you want to help Ashley, you can drop a little gift in the boxes. Just mark it Missions Ashley, and we'll make sure she gets it. We do support her on a monthly basis because of what you do monthly for missions. It's an amazing thing what we've been able to do and what we've been able to maintain. So during this COVID crisis, we have picked up missionaries. Thank you, Freedom Church. Amen. Why? Because we believe the gospel is powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. So today, David Lunsford is coming to preach for us about Jesus. Hallelujah. And then at the end, we're going to have communion together. If you did not get a communion cup, you need a communion cup. The ushers will be by in a minute and raise your hands to receive that. So please welcome David Lunsford.
Hey, y'all. From Alabama, it's okay. It is so exciting to hear missionaries come and speak. Thanks, Ashley. And I just love hearing those stories about what God's doing. I'm sure there was a lot of work in between those stories. but that is just hearing what God is doing around the world. He's not just here in the United States. He's everywhere, and he is at work, and we get to be a part of that. I'm so excited about that. If you if you didn't receive the elements for communion, raise your hand, and an usher will come around and give you one. Everybody got one? I just wanted to get that over with so that we can be ready right at the end. Over here on the side. Thank you. Anybody else? Right down here in the middle. All right. While they're doing that, we're going to get started. Last week, we talked about who is the Son, and that was part one. And today, we're talking about part two, which is, you'll find out. But part one was Jesus is Emmanuel. Remember that? God is with us. That's who Jesus is. God with us. And this week, we're going to be talking about how where the rubber meets the road, kind of. That's not the title, but the title is Who is the Son? But anyway, let's pray, and we'll get going. Thank you, Father, for this time together with our family. Thank you for all these people who love you, looking for you, chasing you, God. I just pray that you bless this time together today, and I pray that you would anoint this word, and we just invite you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we're talking about, John 14:6. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. In our discovery of who the Son is, we can't neglect the statements that Jesus made about himself, right? I guess now if someone were to say, I am God, you'd be like, they're crazy. But he kind of proved it, didn't he? Not kind of, he did prove it. He said it, and then he proved it. So let's hear what he said after the proof. The proof was dying and rising again. Seven statements. I'm just going to just mention them, and we're going to focus on one of these statements. I am the way. The first one of his seven statements in John's gospel, it was, I am the bread of life. And we think about that with communion. As bread sustains physical life, so Christ offers and sustains spiritual life. I am the light of the world is the next one. And to a world lost in darkness, Christ offers himself as a guide. Okay? He's the light. Walking through the dark, we can follow him. We know the way. I am the gate for the sheep. He protects us, his followers, as shepherds protect their flocks from predators. I am the resurrection and the life. Death is not the final word for those of us who are in Christ. It's not the end. I am the good shepherd. Jesus is committed to caring and watching over those who are his. And this is the one we're talking about today. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the source of all truth and knowledge about God. And the last one in John, the I am statements, is I am the true vine. By attaching ourselves to Christ, we enable his life to flow in and through us. Then we cannot help but bear fruit that will honor the Father, right? So those are the seven I am statements, but let's focus on that one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it's not just that Jesus is the way to get to heaven, okay? We're going to focus on something a little bit tighter. But the concept that who the Son is has a direct bearing on how we live our lives. How we live our lives. Because of who he is. First, the first three direct, simple commands that Jesus gives us are in Mark chapter 1 were repent, believe, follow me. Four simple words with a lot of meaning. And sometimes it's not easy to do those simple things, but Mark 1:14-18. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near, like standing right in front of you. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. Repent, believe. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. The first command is repent. We talked about that last week. To repent is to decide to leave one way of life and set out on another way. It's a change of mind and heart that results in a change of direction. It's action. You turn around. Opposite direction. 180. The second command is believe. That is personal, trusting, relational faith that results in action. Action. The third command is follow me. There's a lot of action here. To follow Jesus is to set out on a new way of life that will be formed and shaped by Jesus. Formed and shaped is key words there. It's a new life that is formed and shaped by Jesus himself. It means to listen to what Jesus says, see what he is doing and the way he's doing it, and then do that. Follow me. Little disclosure. I like knives. Anybody else like knives? I mean, like, you know, you enjoy knives. Yeah, you're not. Okay. You carry one around with you, you know, because you never want to be without one. Okay, right now I got this one. I got one on my key ring. And I've got three more in my backpack. But there's a little problem I'm discovering. But anyway, I like knives, okay? And so I got a knife for my son just about 3 weeks ago. And he's 10, okay? So he's a little bit young, but I wanted to teach him how to use it and so forth. And he was really excited. He got to pick out the one he wanted. And he got one with a magnifying glass because that was the most important thing. Get a knife with a magnifying glass. So I decided, hey, I want to hang out with him and do stuff together because so the things that he likes is like video games. And he also likes video games. But when I play a video game for a little while, I'll enjoy it. But then after about a minute and a half, I'm done. So I had to find something for us to do together. So I got him a knife, and he was excited about that, yes, and he wanted to whittle. So, I mean, I don't know much about whittling. I don't know how to make anything with it. I can whittle, you know. I can take some wood and you know, cut off pieces of it. So I figured, hey, I'll get a book. So I went to the library, got a book. And it's a whittling book, and it tells you how to make these little animal characters. So we did that. And, of course, I'm a lot better at it than he is because I'm an adult. It's just you know things. I don't understand it. But you know things when you get bigger, I guess. And so I'm better at it than him. And so I was able to whittle out a nice little shape and stuff, but he was having a hard time with it. And so I said, well, why don't you just watch what I'm doing, okay? I want to tell you what to do. And he tried to do it. He did it. So he started whittling. They laughed at me in the first service, too, because I did this. But how else are you going to hear me, especially on the internet? So I showed him how to do it, okay? I told him how to do it. We read the book and this little card that we were making. And we read the book, and we did what he said, but he still was having a problem with it. He was still having a hard time getting the right angle on it, so he would do something like this. And I was like, you are going to cut yourself. Stop that. And so I said, hand it over. I will show you. Don't do it that way. So I was showing him how to do it. And I gave him a few techniques, but he was still trying to go out of backwards. I'm like, why are you doing that? And so finally, I turned him around because he was looking at me. You know, he was looking right at me, and I was looking at him. I said, okay, why don't you come right here and see what I'm doing this way? And so he did that. I said, oh, that makes sense now because his perspective was wrong. So I showed him how to do it. I told him how to do it. We read a book. Still wasn't making sense. And so I kept showing him, and he finally saw it the way I was doing it from my perspective, and he got it. He was able to do it. And see, that's the way it is with us and Jesus. We've got to not just read about him in the Word of God. We don't just have to just learn everything about him. We also have to follow him and show and see how he does things in the Word and understand, living moment by moment, how to be like him and do what he does. And that's being a disciple. It's more than just reading the Word. The way is a metaphor, okay? A metaphor takes a word that is commonly used to refer to a thing or action that we experience by means of our five senses and then uses it to refer to something that is beyond the reach of our immediate senses. For example, the word rock. Now, everyone knows a rock is a piece of hardened earth or mineral that can be used to throw at giants to knock them out and cut their heads off, right? It's a rock. You know what a rock is. But Jesus takes that word and he calls Peter. He says, Peter, you are a rock. No, I'm not a rock. See, he takes that, turns it into a metaphor. The meaning of the word transforms into much more than just a piece of rock or a piece of mineral or dirt. And it's still that meaning of you are a rock is something we still are trying to understand. You know, you are a rock. I will build my church on you. So that's what a metaphor does for us. It expands our mind to help us to understand things better. When Jesus says he's the way, he's not saying that we can walk on him physically. The word is a metaphor for the concept of a direction, or in this case, the right direction. The way. I am the way. The direction of life, blessing, peace, and ultimately to truly know God. Truly know God. Now, this concept of two ways, or ways, two opposing ways of life, is used over and over in Scripture, okay? And I want to just point out one that's really interesting, and it's all over the book of Psalms, and it's everywhere. Psalms 1 says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." And then it keeps going there in verse 3 through 5, but then verse 6, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." So this concept is throughout Scripture of a path. Direction to take. And Jesus expands on this in Matthew chapter 7 when he talks about the wide and the narrow gates. The gates to get to heaven and not to get to heaven. And there's a vast difference between the way of Jesus and the fleshly way or the American way or the consumer way, I'm trying to say, or worldly way. It's a vast difference between those two different ways. First, there's the American or the worldly way. It's very clear. It's mapped out. You know exactly what to do because you're born in it. It's innate. You wake up one morning when you're 2 years old and you say, "That's my toy, give it back. Now. It's mine. I'll take it." In the classic Roald Dahl book, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, you seen that movie? Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I'm not talking about the newer one. They're both weird, but the older one is weird. But there's this character in there named Veruca Salt. She's an obnoxious, spoiled, rich brat. Remember her? She seems sweet and innocent when you first meet her, you know, with the dimples. And she yells and screams when she doesn't get her way. She gets all aggressive, and she yells, "I want a feast! I want a bean feast! I want it now!" And I always wondered what a bean feast was. Apparently, it's a British thing. I think Miss Tracy would tell us what that is, but something about a big party or something like that. Anyway, a bean feast is a big party. But that I'm getting sidetracked. I want it now! That is what being worldly is like. And we're born that way. Think about it. I mean, we have to suppress those selfish urges in order to live in polite society, don't we? You have to pretend sometimes. I want it. I want that chocolate. Ice cream. You have to figure out what you want and you go for it. That is the flesh way, the worldly way I want to get entertained. I want to be entertained. I want more money. I want stuff. I want to take care of myself. I'm going to run over anybody to get what I want. But Paul talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, for people will love only themselves. This is talking about the end times. For people will, I think we might be pretty close to that. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will discover nothing sacred. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. See, the world gives us no help in finding out what it means to live the eternal in our everyday life. God isn't worshiped. Jesus is not followed, and there's no room for the work of the Holy Spirit in the world. The worldly way of thinking. The Jesus way is not as clearly mapped out, and it's not as obvious or as easy as going my own way and doing what I want to do. We know it's narrow. We know that few find it, because Jesus said you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the Jesus way can't be laid out in a formula that if you follow step by step, you will get to heaven. See, we Westerners like to have it all laid out in our list. We're going to do this, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this, and then we're this, and then we're going to go walking down the pearly gate, up this pearly gates into the, no problem. It's ambiguous. There are areas that must be worked out by hanging out with Jesus. Watching how he works, hearing what and how he says things, scripture. Where is he going to be? Where is he at right now? All while you're walking together through life. See, Philippians chapter 2, so then, my dear ones, as you have, this is amplified, by the way. Amplified means lots and lots of words. So then, my dear ones, just as you have always obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. That's a key. That's a key that I keep coming back to. Work out your salvation. Don't just accept Christ and just sit there. You've got to move forward every day. You have to consider what God is doing around you, in you, every single day. Work out what's happening in your spiritual life. That is, cultivate it. Bring it to full effect. Actively pursue spiritual maturity with awe-inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution and critical evaluation. Take it seriously. To avoid anything that might offend or discredit the name of Christ. That's happened to me. I've done that. Be careful with that. For it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you. What a relief. Both to will and to work. Read that again. This verse has really hit me for the last 10 years. Over and over and over, this verse is it. For it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work. That is, he gives us the want to. He gives us the want to. That is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. That's what happens when we hang out with Jesus. Hang out with Jesus. He gives us the want to. Sometimes I need somebody to give me the want to because I ain't got it. You have to participate. You can't sit in the back seat while Jesus drives you on his way. You can't sit in the back seat. My kids love to sit in the back seat. I got a 16-year-old daughter who could be driving, but I say, hey, you want to drive? Nah. You never want to learn how to drive if you don't get in the front seat and drive. Anyway, let's see. Where was I? It's a journey. You're walking through crazy places, crazy times. We might be in one right now. moments of questioning. Sometimes the questions are answered and sometimes they are not. You have to be comfortable in the mystery. You might not be comfortable, but at least you're going to sit there and be in the mystery anyway, right? And just trust God? Okay, we'll do that. Times of crushing confusion and doubt. Reflection and insights that provide clarity. You'll get that too when you have prayerful discussions with other believers and with Jesus. See, this is what happens in small groups. This is what happens in one-on-one discipleship when you hang out with other believers and talk about what's happening in your spiritual life and in the Word of God. You get reflection and insights. This is how you grow. This is how Jesus forms you. This is how you're walking the way, hanging out with other believers too. That was my small group plug. But if you have repented and believed, you have already started on your way. It happens at home. It happens every day, moment by moment. It's not just at church. Everybody knows that. It happens at your job and at school. Even on vacation, you got to open your eyes and see it. You got to open and see what God's doing right in front of you. He slowly, carefully, sometimes with fits and starts, it happens while we hang out with Jesus and makes mistakes and mature and grow. It happens in the mess of life. Anybody got a mess sometimes in your life? Yes. Yes. You are not alone. Everybody has to deal with mess in their life. We're homeschool family. We have a mess. Not just the house, but other mess too. But there's other types of mess, like the death of a loved one. That's a mess. Years of praying for a loved one for salvation. That is not in order. It's not what we want. Disappointment, unexpected calamities, hardships, misunderstandings in relationships. It happens. Marriage hardships. Problems in your marriage. This forming and this shaping by Jesus happens even in the middle of that. He takes everything and turns it into good. But also in victories. In miracles and healings and children returning to Christ and months and months of exponential spiritual growth. You're on the mountain. Just don't talk about the valleys right now. But you get up there in the mountain, it's great. It happens there too. It happens day by day, moment by moment, every week, every year, every decade, eventually your life. Living the how of the way. Jesus is the how of the truth and life that he is. You can't skip the way and jump straight to the truth and the life. You got to have the how. You got to have the way. Jesus mentions the way first because the how of living the truth and life is so important. The living, the moment by moment. Living with Jesus. I can't follow Jesus any way I want to. I have to follow Jesus in the way he directs me to. I have to be conscious of my motives and my means, the inside part of me, not just my outside, the things that I actually do, but also the inside part, what's going on inside. I have to be saturated in the mind of Christ. I have to spend my time with him so that I am acting like him, so I can hear his voice. The way I get to my destination is just as important as the destination itself. I must follow like Jesus leads. Where does Jesus go? Where is Jesus? How does he get there? How does he get where he's going? I want to go right along with it. How do I treat my neighbor? The Jesus way attached to the Jesus truth produces the Jesus life. The local church is the place for getting the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus functioning in the everyday life of Jesus' followers, the disciples, us. In the local church, we have the opportunity to live out our faith in the body of Christ. Okay? As we get our strength here, we also get sent out. All right? We learn from each other. We use our spiritual gifts and talents together to be the body of Christ. We pray together. We support each other, right? You get support when you come to your family. It happens in the local church. We challenge each other. We minister to the world as a united people, as a united body. We show the world what Jesus looks like and acts like. We're supposed to. What does Jesus look like and act like? He's looking at the church. They're looking at the church. What he values, what he loves. We become Jesus. That's not heresy. We become Jesus. We will physically represent Jesus to the world. It's not just the church, but the community. I mean, it's the worldwide church, not just the local church. I mean, the church both visible and invisible too. Jesus is doing his work in the world, and he wants us in on it. He's doing his work. We got to get in with him. He wants us involved in his way, his truth, and his life. So this is how we get in on what God is doing, okay? We show up for what God intends to do with us and with us and for us through worship. The biblical metaphor for worship is, drum roll please, sacrifice. Oh, that drum roll was... And anticlimactic, right? Sacrifice. Can't believe you said sacrifice. I thought it was singing and music. Nope. Biblical metaphor is sacrifice. We bring ourselves to the communion table, literally and figuratively, and we present ourselves individually and corporately as the church to be shaped by the four parts of communion. And we're going to talk about that, and we're going to go right into communion in just a second. The four parts are take, bless, break, and give. This is what happens in the communion sacrament. The body of Christ is taken, blessed, broken, and distributed. Communion is given to us individually and as the body of Christ, the church, to be taken, blessed, I'm saying it again, broken, and distributed in lives of service and love, healing, and truth. So the four phases or the four patterns, the pattern of symbol or symbolism of communion that was commanded in Scripture show up in several places in the New Testament. The first one, well, that I want to talk about is, it's not, I'm just going to point them out to you, just show you where they are. In Mark's Gospel, of the Last Supper is found in Mark 14, and he says, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take it, for this is my body. And then he took the cup. In the feeding of the 5,000 and 4,000, in Mark chapter 6, verse 41, Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so that they could distribute it. And then Mark chapter 8. So Jesus told all the people to sit on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves, thanked God for them, and broke them into pieces. He gave them to his disciples who distributed the bread to the crowd. Then John chapter 6. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed it to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish. He admits broke there. I'll give you that one. Luke chapter 24. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. That was at Emmaus after Jesus had risen from the dead. And then Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when he's talking about the Lord's Supper, and we're going to use this a little later when we do our communion here. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Given isn't there, but it is implied. So first, take. First part of communion, take. Jesus takes what we bring him. And we give him what we have. What do we have? What are you bringing to the table? That's the question for today. This is the application for you. What are you bringing to the table to Jesus? The boy gave him fish and bread, and that was his sacrifice. Think about that sacrifice. Jesus takes our material possessions that we have. But he also takes the personal things that we have, not just our material possessions, but the things that are inside. He takes ourselves, our sins, he takes that too, and our virtues, and everything that we are, no matter how little. This is Jesus accepting us as we are. He takes us just the way we are. He doesn't force us to give anything. He invites us, and we voluntarily give. He takes us, all of us, every part of us. So what are you going to bring to the table? After the Last Supper, Jesus offered himself up as a sacrifice for our sins and the sins of the whole world. And we as believers are included in that sacrifice. Listen to this, Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The biblical metaphor for worship is sacrifice. Second part of communion is bless. Jesus blesses what we offer. He thanks God for us. He thanks God for what we are giving. Eucharist, which is another word for communion, means thanksgiving. He doesn't look for flaws. He doesn't criticize. He just says, come as you are. Give me what you got. He blesses it, and he offers it to the Father. Third thing, break. Our gifts and offerings we present to God don't remain the same. We don't remain the same. When we give ourselves to God, we don't remain the same. We're broken. That's change. Brokenness is change. Sometimes it hurts, but it's change that we need. We come to the table looking our best. We're all self-sufficient. Have a good face on. But Jesus moves past that facade, and he wants our insides, access to all of us. We're laid out like in a surgery room, opened up. That's gross, but it's true. At the table, we aren't permitted to be self-sufficient. The removal of our pride and self-reliance is good because it produces what? New life in us. Life, because we're without Jesus, we're dead, right? The old dark life is exposed to light when the light of the world breaks us open and cleans out the mess. The sacrifice you desire, Psalms 51:17, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Open to God, continually open. Not just the first time you've accepted Christ, but constantly broken, constantly open, constantly open to what Jesus wants to do in you. Laid out. So because we have entered this broken way of living, we can't expect our lives to be free from suffering, humiliation, or rejection, just like Jesus. We see that first in Jesus on the cross, and we will see it in ourselves. And the last thing, number four, in the communion, give. Jesus gives back what we give to him, who we are, but the new version. And we receive what he gives. And that's communion. It's no longer what we brought. It has been transformed into what God gives. It's changed. There's a change. We become the gospel, the good news. We live it, Christ in us. We distribute that gospel to to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. We're the distributors. We're UPS, FedEx, DHL, U.S. Postal. Can I switch back to spiritual? Okay, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The act of communion also represents our own personal sacrifice we must make to follow Jesus in the way, giving up our entire selves for Christ to bless the gift of ourselves, breaking us and pouring us out for service in his kingdom on earth through the local church, in our daily lives. That is how we follow the Jesus way. Sacrifice. Today we're going to receive communion in remembrance of what the Son of God did to prepare the way to the Father, the path, the life, everyday life of living the way, discipleship. We're going to take, bless, break, and give as a symbol of how we walk the Jesus way in our daily lives. Because he takes us every day. He blesses us every day. He breaks us every day if we let him. And he gives us out to be distributed every day, every moment. That's the process, the constant process. A life of self-denial, sacrifice of what we have and who we are, our wants and desires, both good and bad, doesn't matter. Listening carefully to the direction of the Holy Spirit as we take step by step with Jesus through our lives, step by step. What will you bring to the table today? You only have really one thing that you can bring. Then the last thing, we're going to receive what we gave to Jesus in a new and blessed form, and then share with our neighbors and community this fresh, new, sacrificed life we have in Christ. We get to live this sacrificed life, this new way. I hope we can see a new way to look at communion today, personal way. So we're going to receive communion thinking of those four elements, those four parts. But before we do that, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we should be examining ourselves before we take communion. So I want to give us a moment to examine ourselves, okay? When you got the elements, but we're going to take a moment. I want to read this. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily or guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord, that is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. So those first three things, commands, repent, believe, follow me. Have you done all that? Is it alive and fresh in your heart at the moment? Is there something that you need to ask Jesus for forgiveness? Have you accepted Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus is Lord of all, and have you repented? So take a few moments. Consider your heart. Prepare it for communion so we'll be ready. Father, if there's anything in my heart that's not right with you, I give it up to you. Point it out. Shine your light on me. You're the light of the world. Shine in my heart. I ask for your forgiveness. You don't want to eat and drink unworthily. I want to be a part of the body of Christ. I want to come in and give myself to you. Thank you, Jesus. All right, if you're ready, Let's receive communion together, thinking about those four elements. Take, bless, break, and give. Let's do all those things when we're taking this communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. Let's take our bread. And gave thanks to God for it. Let's thank God for Jesus, for this bread, for his sacrifice. Father, we thank you for this bread. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. Thank you for that brokenness that caused us to be able to live with you forever because of the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that blood. We thank you for that bread. Jesus' name. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's break it. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. Let's drink together. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Thank you, Jesus. Let's spend a few moments presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Feel free to come up here if you would like to pray at the altar. If you have a need that you want to be prayed for, we have altar workers that are here to pray for you. While we're worshiping God here in just a moment, feel free to come up, offer yourself.